Today's scripture comes from Hebrews 5, verses 5 through 10. So Christ also did not take upon himself the glory of becoming a high priest, but God said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And he says in another place, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
All right. Thank you, Ray. Stained glass. We don't have any here in the fellowship hall, and that's by design. But unless you've been in the sanctuary, which is that place down the hall where we worship at 8 and 11 o'clock, there's lots and lots of stained glass. Stained glass. Bethel has some of the most beautiful stained glass windows. Here's a few pictures of it. These don't do them justice, of course. But these stained glass windows have been here, most, if not all of them, for over 102 years. Stained glass is an interesting art form. It started in medieval times with cathedrals. Now, back in the 1400s, 1500s, people really could not read. Only people that could read in town were the priests, primarily, and some high officials. The priests were the only ones that could read, so therefore the stories of the Bible were depicted in stained glass. For example, if you'll look up in the top left-hand corner, we see Jesus as the Good Shepherd, Jesus holding a little lamb. I know it's kind of small. We have other pictures in stained glass down here. Here's a couple of disciples down here in the bottom right. We have the shell here in the middle, which represents baptism. We have a couple of a Bible and a cross down there in the bottom left-hand corner, as well as an anchor to remind us that Christ is the anchor of our faith. So stained glass is as art, and it is a witness to the world to God's love in Jesus Christ. But there's one particular window down the hall in the sanctuary that I want to talk about today, and it's the Gethsemane window. Now, why is it called the Gethsemane window? I think it's the next one up. That's an actual photograph of our Gethsemane window. Those of you that have been with us at Easter and at Christmas Eve know that window very, very well. The Gethsemane window is a picture of Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night before his crucifixion. And if you'll look carefully to the right over here, you'll see the disciples fast asleep. Or Jesus told them to watch and pray with him, but they were so tired they couldn't keep their eyes open. This particular window is beloved by many here at Bethel Church, and anyone that comes, when you go out 8 o'clock in the morning at the 8 o'clock service when the sun is shining, that little halo around Jesus' head is just brilliant. It just pops off the stained glass. So it's a beautiful window, and it tells the picture of Jesus' anguish. However, and please don't misunderstand the next words I'm about to say about this window. Are you listening? I think they are. It's not realistic. It is not realistic. According to the scripture that Ray read for us today, it's not realistic. Take a look at Jesus' face. The Bible says that during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. Now, it is a beautiful picture. Don't get me wrong. The artist did a wonderful job with the colors and the positioning and the detail and the staining work. But when you look at that window, don't see Jesus in anguish, do you? He looks actually rather peaceful. I don't see drops of blood coming from his eyes, which one of the translations of the story says that Jesus cried and prayed so hard that his tear ducts ruptured and blood actually came from his eyes. Jesus prayed with loud cries. I don't see him crying out. He looks rather sedate there, if you know what I mean. The story of the Gethsemane story, of course, is Jesus the night before he was crucified. He has just gone to dinner with his disciples to celebrate the Passover meal. It is the night that he washed his disciples' feet. He transformed the Seder meal into the Lord's Supper. He is betrayed by Judas, one of his 12 disciples. He is deserted by his other disciples. And he goes with Peter, James, and John to the garden to pray. To pray to the Father in his hour of anguish, his dark night of the soul, if you will. Jesus is fearful. Jesus is anguished. Jesus does not want to die. And so he goes to God, to Mount Olive, the Mount of Olives, to the garden within the Mount of Olives, and he prays. He tells his disciples to go and watch and pray, and he goes off in a distance. And this is the picture of Jesus crying out and praying to God. Jesus looks pretty sedate there. But we know that he prayed out loud. We know that he cried out to God. We know that he said, "Father, if you are willing, let this cup pass from me." What cup? I don't see any cups. Jesus was talking about the cup of suffering. He was talking about the cup of anguish, the cup of death that lie ahead of him, the torture, the horrible death that he would suffer with nails through his hands and feet and a sword in his side. The Bible tells us that he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. But Jesus also prayed, "Not my will be done, but yours. Thy will be done." The garden prayer is not the only time Jesus prayed, of course. Jesus was a man of prayer. Remember, Jesus was a Jew. And the Jews prayed at least 3 times per day, every day, 365 days of the year. They prayed at morning, they prayed at noon, they prayed at night. Jesus was a man of prayer. We read in Scripture that Jesus often went off to a place by himself, a quiet place, a place of solitude, to pray to the Father. You see, it was prayer that strengthened his ministry, that gave him the strength for his ministry, that gave him, that sustained him in his mission. He prayed for himself. He prayed for others. He prayed as an intercessory for other people. He prayed to the Father to raise Lazarus from the dead. He prayed before he raised the little girl who had died from her bed. He prayed for the crowds, he prayed for his disciples, he prayed for healing. And yes, Jesus even taught us how to pray when he gave us the Lord's Prayer, when he gave the disciples the Lord's Prayer, a model prayer, if you will, for our prayers. What did Jesus pray? Well, many of Jesus' prayers are recorded in Scripture. If you read the Gospels, you'll find, like in the garden, what Jesus prayed to the Father, what he prayed to God at Lazarus' tomb, and so forth. But many of them are not recorded. This was the Son of God. This was God in the flesh. This was the Holy One from heaven. And yet, he still felt the need to pray. Isn't that incredible that God in the flesh, the Son of Man, the Son of God, still felt the need to pray? And if it was important for Jesus to pray, well, then it must be important for us as well. The Bible says in Hebrews 5, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, that is, while he walked this earth as a man, to the age of about 33, Jesus prayed and gave us the example to follow of prayer. We are called to be people of prayer. Every major religion has prayer built into its faith system. Christians are no different. Prayer is where we get before God, whether it be on our knees or sitting in a chair or lying in our beds or standing at the beach or walking through the woods. Prayer is our communications means with God. We talk, we listen. Prayer is part of who we are, an important part of who we are. What did Jesus pray? He prayed prayers and petitions, the Bible says. Prayers and petitions, giving thanks to God. But he also asked God for things. Petitions, you know what a petition is. It's a request. Another word is supplication. He gave us more than an example or model for prayer. God, or Jesus, actually had to speak to the Father. And he did through the gift of prayer. He was human, and he experienced the same things that we experience. And yet, he still prayed. He still felt the need to pray. Jesus is not a Savior that cannot relate to what we go through. Jesus knew fear. Jesus knew pain. Jesus knew disappointment, rejection, betrayal, physical pain, emotional pain, grief, all the things that we humans go through. We have a Savior that knows what we're going through. Even from the cross, Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Jesus had us on his mind. Because we are the ones that put him on the cross. Not the Jews, not the Romans. It was humanity. And yet, Jesus is still praying for us. You might say, well, he's God. How can he relate to me?